Welcome to episode 59 of Shockwaves. We're doing it live here at Midsummer Scream. This is the second year they've...
We had background music.
Did we do this last year?
We had a couple of panels here last year.
We had panels here.
Oh, okay. But none. I don't think any of us were here. Rob, did you come to this one last year?
I did not. Oh,
that's Rob.
Either Rob.
All right. We're both going to answer
really,
at the same
the
time.
The Robs. Did you guys come to this one last year?
This is the one time you have to call me Rob G.
Yeah. We'll just call Rob. You G, you Schraub.
How's that sound?
Schraub.
So yes. Rob Schraub and I met... through Derek Mears being the guy who played Jason in the Friday the 13th 2009 incarnation. And he was like, you need to know this guy. And I was like, I kind of know this guy. But then, of course, I went back home and timidly went on IMDb and went, oh, my God, Rob's done so much. He was one of the writers of Monster House. He was part of Community, which is a fucking brilliant TV show. He does some voices for Rick and Morty. But he's also a giant horror fan, as I learned when I went to Lo-Fi Video's VHS swap downtown in this like hole-in-the-wall art show. And he was setting up his own booth. And I was like, what are
it
you doing?
It sounds more pathetic than it is. I mean, it does sound like, oh, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Was it a Saturday
here,
morning?
Man?
And I'm just sitting there, like, the table's up to here with a bunch of VHS boxes going,
but the table,
two for a dollar. Yeah.
The table was up to here, but the VHSs were up to here.
Yeah,
and you were just, like, peeking
them.
Through.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's a fantastic director, fantastic writer, fantastic actor.
Oh, you're sweet.
And
thank you.
We've already talked to him at Blumhouse about maybe possibly doing some fun stuff.
Ooh,
and
gosh, yes.
And so pulling together this 59th episode, which kicks off Exploitation Month at Shockwave. So each week we're going to kind of tackle an exploitation topic. And we wanted to do things right, since I think Shark Week is wrapping up as we speak, and Huntington Beach is overloaded with great white sharks. Have you guys heard about this? Don't go to Huntington Beach, because there's great white sharks, and they will eat you. So we were like, let's talk about sharksploitation. sharksploitation. Everybody's breaking out their notes. This is how we do it when we're in a conference room and not 100 eyes staring at us. But with sharksploitation, I think we all know that Jaws is the pinnacle of sharksploitation, one of the best shark movies of all time. She's raising her hands in the back like, fuck yes. Testify. But
what if I was like, it's okay. It doesn't really hold up.
Yeah. Out. But in the wake of Jaws, there were a lot of great shark movies.
I don't know about great.
I don't know about great, right?
I got three great movies that I've selected that I want to talk about today.
To be discussed.
And I'm hoping you did too.
But are you going with the ones that directly came right after Jaws?
No.
Okay, you're spreading it out.
No, I'm talking about Jaws.
Okay, no. Over time, I will say there have been other great shark movies, but those ones that came out like right after Jaws.
Yeah, the Italian knockoffs.
Yeah.
So, but Jaws started it, right?
Is that
basically the deal? And look,
that's
according
right.
to the ever reliable Wikipedia, this is what sharksploitation is. A genre of exploitation films focusing on sharks and shark attacks, which means piranha doesn't count?
Yeah, I was going to say, do we include devilfish?
No.
But it's a Jaws movie, just with the devilfish.
So Tremors is land sharks, basically.
So this is.
I mean, do you count Tremors
in?
Schraub brought it up when we
Fine.
Were talking on email.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, no, sharks. I hope right. you guys.
So
what
well,
if it becomes a sharktopus? Is it still qualifying?
It has shark in the title, so yes.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough.
Devilfish is also called monster shark.
It is called monster shark.
It's half shark, half octopus.
Rob for the win.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
So half of it is sharksploitation.
It's one half.
Just like the
it's
first
fringy.
Half.
Octosploitation is the
octo,
other half.
Octo. It's a proto sharktopus.
Now, let me ask a question before we start
do
our
it,
actual.
Because
we, I think Ryan wanted us to pick three sharksploitation picks each.
We usually go in, this is just the Shockwaves way, we kind of go in with homework, but then we never do it. But we do come to the table with some cool stuff. And then Becca brings up fucking devilfish.
I plan to discuss
or piranha. We want to talk about sharks, but we brought piranha.
I was just curious.
I plan to do that
again.
I
like piranha. And it is a
Jaws
ripoff.
All right, go for it.
It is a Jaws ripoff.
My question is, would you guys consider the Jaws sequels sharksploitation?
Absolutely.
Even more so than the original.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Questions over. There's shark attacks. There's sharks in it.
And also Jaws 2, absolutely, because Jaws gets elevated as a force of nature to a full-on slasher in Jaws 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, he acts like a slasher, he's feasting on teens.
Yeah, even by part 4, I mean, the Jaws has a personality. I mean, he's out for revenge, and, you know, he has got a debt.
I like that movie, okay? Jaws the Revenge is vastly underrated and thoroughly entertaining. And that's the
and
whole
also,
point.
Also, Jaws 3D rips off Revenge of the Creature. Yes. Do you guys remember
SeaWorld?
Yep, yep. Lagoon sequel, mm-hmm. Revenge of the Creature? Basically the same structure. It is in Revenge of the Creature gets pulled out of his lovely home in the Amazon, and then he gets thrown into a Florida sea park, SeaWorld type environment, and then they study him, and then they probe him, and then he gets out and attacks.
Do you think that was because Joe Dante at one point was being... like circling around, possibly doing the third, and he has such a love of that kind of like the Universal horror movies.
But
like,
the Joe Dante third one, what was it like? Jaws 40, People Zero,
yeah,
or
Jaws 3,
yeah,
People Zero.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a lampoon.
Supposed to be really comedic.
John Hughes actually wrote like one of the first drafts of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine that movie coming out?
I dream of it often.
I wonder if it would have deflated our fear of the original. Like, if that comedic one had come out.
No.
Like, because they always say, like, once the subgenre reaches a comedic point, they're no longer scary.
Well, you're a fan of Freddy's Dead, so...
I am!
And
yeah,
and you're a fan of Jason Goes to Hell.
Damn fine movie.
Superman 3... That's kind of killed it right there.
And Superman's still scary?
Yeah.
Scary robot.
Yeah.
So are you guys inherently afraid of sharks? Have you ever had a shark encounter? Do you actually purposely stay away from the ocean because of sharks? I just want to lay down this groundwork before we go in, because I'm curious if, like, you actually watch shark movies regularly or if it's a fear that keeps you away.
Well, I've talked about this on the show a lot because definitely one of my bags is, like, aquatic monsters in general. But I think it's because, not shark encounters, but it definitely goes back to my childhood where I grew up on the Shenandoah River. And, like, straight off our dock, it was, like, 16 feet deep straight off the dock. And there were big things in there. They wouldn't hurt you. They were, like, mud cats and gar, creatures that, you know, they're scary looking, but they're not going to bite you. But they would be swimming underneath you. So you would look down, see this vast expanse of black, and then just see something like 4 feet long kind of go past. And it terrified me. But at the same time, I was so fascinated. I wanted to swim down and see what they were, but I never could.
This explains so much.
I know. And I was just scared to death of these creatures, but fascinated by them. And occasionally you would see like a gar jump out of the water, and it was just terrifying and fascinating simultaneously. You've never seen an alligator gar? Okay. Does anybody in the audience
has anybody seen
an alligator gar? Three people.
Right.
They are really long fish, and they have these giant snouts, and they've got a lot of teeth. They have a ton of teeth. I can't believe no one's ever made a gar movie before.
You live in a nightmare land.
Gar is in the Monster Manual of Dungeons and Dragons. That's the only thing that I know. I thought it was, like a bugaboo or whatever. I didn't really think it was a real thing.
Rob?
Apparently, I can't swim, so I'm scared of drowning. And I'm scared of giant animals that will eat me. So, yes, I fear a lot of things, Ryan. But in particular in the ocean.
I was about to say, I've never seen you in the ocean.
It's getting deep.
Nope, I don't even wear shorts, man. I'm not going near a beach. I'll go to the beach at night, maybe. And that's it.
Rob?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up, like, my family was a big, like, ski boat fanatic. Like, we would, like, go skiing, like, every weekend, water skiing. And so I didn't really have a lot of fear of the water. I always was like, I think I was more scared of like octopus, like just grabbing or whatever. I did have like a weird fear as a kid of like a lobster in the toilet. Like if you're going to, like, it just cause it just, I don't know. There was something about like the water and the unknown and I can't really keep an eye. I mean, I'm talking about when I'm sitting, like if there's something that was like my fear, I don't know, you know, maybe I saw Ghoulies too soon.
Ghoulies could do it.
They'll get you in the end.
Yeah.
I always had this repeated dream, nightmare, really, of me on kind of, it was kind of like Waterworld. Remember in Waterworld, they had like these floating docks and cities and stuff? But I didn't live in Waterworld, but in my dream, it was just all these docks, like on an ocean, and I would walk out onto the dock, and a loved one would be there, and by the time I got over there, they would fall in, and a shark would be in the water. And this was a repeated nightmare. Like, I don't know what the fuck Freudian stuff was going on.
How long did you have this dream? Like,
since I was 10.
Is this still going on?
It does every once in a while, yeah. Yeah, you were in it, and you were in
oh
it,
my God.
And you were in it, too. But yeah, that was always like that. And I was on the swim team for a long time. I think I was kind of like fighting the fear of the ocean and fighting the fear of water, so I came to embrace it, but also I know to fear it. But less, I have more of a fear of snapping turtles than actual sharks.
Snapping turtles.
Yeah, because I grew up like almost like on a kind of a crystal lake kind of thing. You know, I would go to summer camp and
snapping turtles are scary. I saw a snapping turtle get you know like my dad having a tug of war with a snapping turtle with a fishing line, and they're pretty horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I actually, speaking of our crazy homework that we do, I actually looked up, and it is called thalassophobia, which is not the fear of sharks, but it's what I have, where it's fear of like large expanses of water, like where you're swimming and it's just black below you and you don't know what's there. So that's thalassophobia, which I'm probably saying wrong.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
All right. Did you guys come to the table with some shark exploitation you want to recommend here on the show?
Damn straight.
All right. Rob, do you want to start?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Shrob.
I forgot already.
Shrob.
Well, I did like dig into Jaws 3D because you got it.
Let's talk about Jaws 3D.
Yeah. So I mean, we talked about like the Joe Dante. We talk about it being a I think like Zanuck, like the original producers, like let's just blow it up and make it a comedy, and they got like John Hughes to do a draft of it, and Roy Scheider. I read this that Roy Scheider purposely took Blue Thunder so that he could absolutely not be in it because he did not want to do the second one. And he says, there's no fucking way I'm doing a third one. And he did Blue Thunder. The production designer of the first two films became the director who, you know, made a really good production design of the first two movies. Not necessarily a director, I'm going to say. And then the 3D elements of it are pretty... When's the last time any one of you have seen... Anybody seen Jaws 3D? I mean, it's not something you do on purpose like I did, but...
Very yeah. recently.
The Blu-rays came out.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Is there a 3D version of it?
Because
I've never seen...
Rob would know.
Rob has it.
You're welcome over to watch it in 3D.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, and is it better?
Because here's the thing. It's not a good movie.
No.
But it's slightly okay in 3D.
In 3D.
Does the floating shark towards glass
yes,
get any
that's
better?
That's awesome.
Okay.
It's good.
The title's awesome, and that, you know, spoiler alert, like in the end when it's like, it's just like this stagnant, like it looks like a drawing of a shark coming straight towards them, and they're all like,
and it takes like 10 minutes.
That looks, it looks terrible in the regular version. In 3D, it's like, oh,
that's all right.
That's kind of cool.
Does it justify their reactions? Because it's like Dennis Quaid, Lou Scott Jr., and a bunch of other people are sitting there and like going, oh my God, it's, and then it cuts to the shark. Dear God, it's getting closer. And it goes on for
there's
a
no
really
actual
long
swimming.
Time.
There's no swimming involved.
There's no,
it's just kind of floating.
Like, is it dead? What's it going on? And then, like, this overlaid breaking glass effect shatters. And then there's, like, way too much, like, space after the shatter. And then the water comes. Because it's like they're underwater in the ocean. Shouldn't it be just like... But
there's a lot that doesn't make sense.
It'll slow
in that
down
movie.
For effect.
By that point, if you've drunk enough, then it's great.
All right. All right.
Well, I think that movie's highly enjoyable.
But I will say this. There's like one moment, and you might agree with me with this, that there's one moment that I found to be absolutely horrifying, and I thought it was great. Because the guy who was Manimal, does anybody, any Manimal fans from the 80s? Okay. Manimal was a private investigator, kind of like a Matt Houston guy or whatever. It was an 80s TV show. Had the ability that he could turn into any animal. like mostly a panther, and sometimes a snake. But he would do like this kind of like makeup effects. And he would turn into these animals. And anyway, that is neither here nor there. That guy is like a shark hunter in the movie.
I know where you're going.
Okay, so he at one point goes one on one with a shark, and gets eaten. And they cut to the camera is inside the shark.
Yeah.
With the guy getting eaten.
Yes.
And his oxygen mask comes off and he's going, and it's just like teeth are going together and blood's everywhere. And as a child, I found this absolutely horrifying. Yeah. And I just watched it like earlier this week, and it's still a pretty cool idea.
It's not done
altogether that badly. It's a little edited, kind of wonky. But, you know, when you're a production designer, you really don't take editing
into consideration.
Yeah.
It's the reveal, because he gets eaten, like towards the end of the movie, and the last thing he tries to do is, like, pull the pin on a grenade or something like that.
Right.
So then
right.
you, like, forget about him. You're like, oh, he got eaten and swallowed. And then literally at the very, like, end of the movie, sorry, spoiler alert, when Jaws opens his mouth, you see him just stuck there, like, holding the grenade up.
Which is
dead. And you're just like,
which
that's
sounds
a little
kinda,
disturbing.
Yeah, it sounds kind of silly.
And the plot is to, like, pull the pin, like, they're trying to get into his mouth to pull the pin out.
Because you see this arm and this like, and it the arm is sticking out of the back of the throat, which is all dark, and you kind of can barely see like a face or something in there, which is pretty disturbing. It's pretty
we should rewatch.
Also the dead baby shark. The dead baby shark also kind of resonated.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. That was a bummer.
That I also I tried to watch Night of the Sharks with Treat Williams.
I like that you said you tried.
I tried to. And it's like an Italian sharksploitation movie, and I was watching it, and it's like Monster Shark, Devilfish. It's really padded, really does not have any pacing. It's very meandering. And then, you know, there's a couple of things in there that's kind of cool. And then at one point they capture a shark, and it's like these 80s Italian movies, like you're watching, it's like Cannibal Holocaust. Every once in a while they go, when in doubt, let's kill an animal for real on camera. And that's when I turned it off.
Yeah.
So that's how I try. Okay, that's a bummer.
You set a high pick.
Everybody's a real bummer.
We lost a few in the audience.
Okay.
What do you got?
You totally set up my next pick, because I picked a little film called Tintorera.
Yes.
AKA Killer Shark, AKA Tiger
I remember
shark.
That as Threesome with a Shark.
This is 1977. It's a Spanish movie. It was shot in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, it stars Susan George and Hugo Stiglitz, the name that Tarantino
Stiglitz.
Uses. In, yeah, that's it. Thank
Hugo
you.
Hugo Stiglitz.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. I should have pulled up the IMDb, but basically it's like two dudes that are vying, they're like womanizers vying for the same girl that happened to be like shark explorers and stuff like that. But there is totally something going on between these two dudes.
Yeah.
So it is like a total homoerotic thing going on. The shark stuff is really fun.
Isn't it the one with the dog? Isn't there like a little yappy dog on the boat?
Yes, I believe so. It's been a while since I've seen it, because it's not that easy to come by, but I'm sure you could find it on YouTube. I didn't just endorse that.
I just remember being horrified because they take the dog and they pitch it into the ocean where the shark is as like a...
I think that's
diversion?
Cyclone.
That's actually my second.
Is it Cyclone
that
or is
my
it?
Second pick.
That happens in Cyclone
okay.
too.
But it's just a really weird movie. The only downside to it, I saw it at the New Beverly not too long ago, and I was like, this is crazy. It's fun with an audience. Like, it's fun with friends. But as you said, I'm pretty sure there's a few sequences where they go down, and it is actual footage of them killing a shark. And I was
it's
like,
a bummer.
And you're like, where did this come from? Is this like, stock footage of, you know, I'm not really sure.
Probably not.
But if it's Italian or Spanish, they are they're down with that for some reason.
Plastic, rubber sharks are expensive.
Yes.
When there's like so many out in the ocean.
But it is worth it for the homoerotic relationship.
Yeah.
It's a very strong, strong love story.
Yes.
Tintorera. Go figure.
So I'm going to start off with a crazy one and go for the throat here. Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
Yes.
So I first saw this on VHS a long time ago, like back when I was in college. It came out in 2002, so I'm sure it was just shortly thereafter, because if I'd seen a shark on the video store shelf, I would have been like, I have to have this. And the movie is somehow fascinating. Not even just for, it's got this one line, this one quintessential line that everybody knows it for, which may be the craziest line, which I don't even think I'm allowed to say in this audience.
I would refrain.
I'm going to refrain from saying it in this audience, but it just comes out of nowhere, and it's very curt and classy. And so everyone knows it for that line, but I will also say this movie includes a megalodon eating a jet skier, eating in an entire safety boat full of people. It was directed by David Wirth, who kind of has a long career in exploitation. He did Bloodsport, Never Die Too Young. And one of my favorite things is seeing how this particular line in Shark Attack 3 Megalodon has evolved depending on what where it's being broadcast. So I saw it on Sci-Fi about 10 years ago, and it became, you want to go back to my place and play Parcheesi? Which I thought is an equally grand pickup line.
Yeah.
Equally good. So.
Because she's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, she's like, totally. Parcheesi. Like, let's do this, man. Parcheesi.
But you know who the actor that's playing that is? Captain Jack from the reboot of Doctor Who. Yeah. And he said that... that was an improv that he tagged on the end of like whatever. He thought they would just like cut it off, and the director went, oh, that's pretty hilarious.
Who the heck improvs that? He must be really, really good friends with that crew.
It was just to make everybody
or
laugh.
The actress.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you go on YouTube and look up the line, you'll actually find him talking about it on like horrified on some talk show, being like, I just said it to make everybody laugh, and then it's in the freaking movie.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone remembers it for. Yeah. So I guess
it's a hell
worthwhile.
Of a joke, dude.
But I will say, I think across the board, we need more Megalodon movies. I can think of that one. They did one, which was kind of a letdown as part of Shark Week 2 years ago, I want to say. They did Megalodon, and it was like this found footage thing where they were going on a hunt for Megalodon, and then you don't actually ever see the Megalodon. And so, yeah, we need some more Megalodon action.
Becca,
yeah.
Your wish is granted.
Make me more Megalodon.
Well, Jason Statham.
Meg is coming.
Yes.
Is starring in a film called Meg.
It has taken way too long to get here. I've read the whole series.
Apparently it screened last week for some
Burbank. My friend was at it.
Oh.
She says it's awesome.
Excellent.
She says it's really funny, though.
I hope
to
God.
It has to be funny.
The book Meg, like the very, because I've read the whole series. At the very beginning of the first book, it begins with a Megalodon taking down a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like it literally leaps out of the water and eats a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I really hope it opens like that.
Director, I'm sure the director of Meg saw Jurassic World and was like, fuck. I gotta up the game now.
My opening scene.
Now it's just a UFO dropping the Meg into our oceans, maybe. I was thinking of what I could start with, but I'm just going to drop it on you guys. Ghost Shark. Anybody a fan of Ghost Shark from 2013?
Bold decision.
It's directed by Griff Furst. This is, I feel like sci-fi has kind of diluted the shark exploitation waters a little bit, maybe a little too many shark movies. I'm like trying to be a little too clever. The Sharknado movies keep going on, and then there's Shark Exorcist, in which the cover art is literally a priest standing before a shark jumping out of
amazing
sand
cover art by Devin Whitehead.
Yeah, Devin.
I mean, I think that again, it's a cool heavy metal cover to have a priest exorcising a shark. Ghost Shark. I was up late one night. I couldn't sleep. I put it on, and I got sucked right in by just the drama, guys. The drama of it all.
And now, I haven't seen it. Is it tongue-in-cheek, or do they take it serious?
Both. It's a kind of a procedural, because it's about these people who are trying to find a ghost shark that basically, if there's water, the ghost shark is in there and can attack you at any time. So, for example, there's a moment in which a guy goes to a water cooler and he's talking shit about something, and he drinks the water, and guess what? He gets split in half because a ghost shark comes out of him. There's a great GIF that's on the internet of this little kid on a slip and slide, and he like slides across, and all of a sudden at the end of the slip and slide, it explodes, and the ghost shark just slides across the slide and eats the kid. And then there is a very harrowing moment of tension in which our investigators are going through a neighborhood where the kids have destroyed the fire hydrant, and there's just water pouring onto the street, and they just sit there and they're eyeballing this fire hydrant, just waiting for the shark to come out. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and then you're thinking, oh my God, no, the shark is going to go down here where the kiddie pool is, and you're like, no, it's going to come out of this fire hydrant. And it's like the direct Griff First actually built some tension that I was on the edge of my seat for, because I was like, oh my God, he's going to eat all of these kids, and I want to see this happen. And of course, there is an element of a cursed fisherman that they wind up going to on a beach, and they talk to him, and apparently there's some history between this cursed fisherman and the shark he's killed. It is awesome, guys. It is awesome, awesome, awesome sauce. And it came out, I think, just before Sharknado, and Sharknado took all the credit, man. Like, it got more publicity than Ghost Shark did, and I felt really bad. So I took to Twitter, and I just tried to promote it as much as possible.
Are you guys, like, fans of the Sharknado movies? I mean, like, are they fun?
They're fun, but out of all of the sci-fi...
Oh, we have a lot of friends that are in it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, a lot of our friends are in them, and we know a lot of the people who worked on them.
But I have no fear.
They are not, out of all of like the sci-fi movies, the Sharknado films are not my favorite. Like, there are other sci-fi movies that I'm like, I kind of like this one.
I watched like Sharknado 3 like this week in preparation for today. And
Tiffany Shepis is down at our booth.
What's that?
Tiffany Shepis is down at the booth.
She's
in a couple of the Sharknado.
And the thing about the Sharknado movies is that the threat is like these sharks are more dangerous in the water, right? You know, and so they're just throwing them through the air, and we're supposed to be like, holy shit, what if sharks were thrown through the air? That would be no, they're in the water.
That's the thing that bothers me, because it's just a tornado throwing sharks at people.
Yeah, you know? And most of the blood in these movies is shark blood, so it's like a horror movie, but from the shark's perspective. they're being like, I didn't want to get out of the ocean. I'm being thrown out of it into the sky. I can't breathe, and now I'm trying to defend myself. So I bite off, you know, this chick's arm, you know, and then they start cutting me up with a chainsaw, and I can't defend myself. I don't have a chainsaw. I'm, you know, it really is. This Sharknado,
they're tragedies.
Yeah.
Solidarity shark with tragedies. Their sharks.
And they lose every movie, you know?
Well, for me, it's the, and I mean, this is kind of the way it is now, just the over-reliance on the CG versions of the shark that look terrible. And
that's
the thing is, like, even with something like The Last Shark from 1981, which is an Italian ripoff Jaws movie, it's not good. Mm. But there is, by God, a rubber shark that comes out of the... And there's something still so appealing about where it's like, I'm still scared of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, that could...
You rip on... We just ripped on, like, Jaws 3D. I mean, like, that scene with the guy inside the shark would be just a joke. Not at all scary if it was all CG. You need to see, like... him like struggling to get out.
I think it depends on editing. Editing is CGI, you know? I mean, like, there was a film that's coming out that just got slapped with the title Open Water 3. It was an acquisition. It was about a cage dive gone bad, and I had seen it last year, and they were really effective in using actual shark footage, you know? So I guess it really depends. I mean, like, I think in terms of sharksploitation, CGI has gotten better. The Shallows, I thought, really worked. I thought the shark in that really worked, and it was mostly all CGI.
This summer with 47 Meters Down,
also on my list.
Yeah, well.
Terrifying film. Anybody see 47 Meters Down?
Oh, wow.
Did you like it? Yeah, it works, Craig.
The guy's Craig's like, well, all right. Yeah, all right.
Listen, the dialogue in 47 Meters Down ain't great, but... I feel like it's a completely execution-dependent movie in which it's all about these little scenes. Because the premise is Mandy Moore and her friend are at the bottom of an ocean, trapped in a cage, and they can swim out the top and swim 10 meters above the cage to radio their friends on a boat. But there's sharks in the water, because that's what they came to see. And so they had to come out, kind of swim out and go, okay, guys, we really need help. Oh, shit, there's a shark. I'm going back down. And then they swim back down into the cage and close the latch. And so it's like moments like that really drive the tension. And then there's one moment that made me scream like a little kid, and I was traumatized. It's a terrifying moment. It's in a trailer, too. I hate that they put it in the trailer. But I feel like CGI is getting better, you know? But okay. Rob, you got to talk about Last Shark. Rob G.,
Well, that's not one of my picks.
Oh, is that one of your picks?
I was just mentioning it because I like the rubber shark in it. And
he kind of bobs.
No. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you just look it up online. You'll love it. You'll be. I want to see. Well, you don't really need to see the movie. You just need the gift.
Yeah, the gift does it.
But my second pick is a movie that I fully endorse called Bait 3D from 2012. If you haven't heard of this, you need to watch it immediately, preferably in 3D, because the 3D is fantastic. But basically, it's...
Double feature, Rob.
Done deal. Rob squared.
Rob squared?
Double feature in 3D.
Featured two.
This is... Can you just live Facebook?
This
sure.
Is like Cairo,
we will do this. It takes place in Australia, and it stars... who's the guy from Nip Tuck? I'm drawing a blank on his name. He's one of the main guys from Nip Tuck.
The handsome doctor.
That dude.
Yeah, and handsome doctor from Nip Tuck.
Like, Sharni Vinson, who is in your next. Although it's hilarious because Sharni is Australian. And I guess because they assume this would come out in America, she's the one person that they make do an American accent, even though everybody else is Australian. The one Australian can't talk the way she normally does. But anyway, they are basically they're at a mall, a giant mall in the supermarket of the mall, and two dudes are trying to pull off a heist. And in the middle of the heist, a tsunami hits this island. So now the mall is flooded, and sharks are in the mall. It is awesome. And they're just trying to survive by, like, staying on top of, like...
Aisles and stuff like that
and figure out how to get out of there.
So they flooded, like, an actual mall
It's a grocery store.
But there's also a lot in a parking garage, too.
There's a couple that were, like, making out in the parking garage, and they're trapped in
the parking garage.
Yeah.
That
sounds amazing.
It's pretty awesome. It's really good.
Is it Bait 3D? Is it, like... Is this, like, a third one in a series, like Jaws 3D?
No. It's just Bait, but obviously I like to refer to it as Bait 3D.
Oh, okay.
Russell Mulcahy is one of the, there were a couple directors, a couple writers, but Russell Mulcahy had his hand in it as well.
Yeah.
He did Razorback and Highlander.
Yeah, it's a big budget shark film. It was like a $20 million movie.
And Australian.
They were trying to release it here as if it was going to be this big thing. And that, I think, has a pretty good mix of, like, they definitely have some practical sharks that look awesome or, like, mechanical. And then I think there's a couple CG shots here and there, but it's good. It's just so much fun because how ridiculous the premise is. We're like, all right, I'm in. Tsunami hits a supermarket. Great.
I love
sharks
it.
Are there.
Is there a cleanup in aisle five joke in there?
I believe.
I'm sure there must be.
I don't remember.
Yeah. No, there's good stuff in there. So that's my pick.
Is it on like Netflix, Amazon?
Yes. It's on. Well, I don't know if it's on Amazon.
It's not on Netflix.
Lionsgate put it out here, and I know that it's one of their titles that's always ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Blu-ray.
It's worth it. It's sold worth a blind buy.
On iTunes, when you go to horror and it says $7.99 or less, I usually see it in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't diminish the quality. It's just a good deal.
What's your second?
My second is, and hopefully this is, falls under sharksploitation, but it was written by Peter Benchley. It was 1998. It was a TV movie, Creature.
Yes.
Anybody remember Creature?
Yes.
Not a terrific movie. It stars Craig T. Nelson, a post coach, Craig T. Nelson, and a post Star Trek VI, pre Sex and the City, Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
And the guy who played Gus Fring from Breaking Bad is in it as the character of Werewolf. And he looks like he hasn't aged a day since 1998, and he's jacked. Like he's just like cut. And he plays this crazy homeless person named Werewolf. And he's not a werewolf, because this is a Sharkman movie, which the idea is that back in Vietnam, the Navy was trying to do hybrids of sharks and dolphins to get like a shark to be as smart as a dolphin. So it's like this mammal reptilian thing. So I don't know what you would call that. You can't call it a shark fin, but maybe you could call it a Dolphark or whatever the thing it's called. But anyway, they for some kind of weird kind of psychobabble or whatever, like it they said, well, okay, we accidentally created this amphibious shark. And then they put it in a cage and they throw it out in the middle of the ocean because it's far too dangerous and far too intelligent. And then like 20 years later, some idiot with an anchor gets it snagged on the cage and opens it up, and movie.
It's still alive?
It's still alive in the cage. They never explained, like, this thing, like, well, it was eating its own feces or whatever. I don't know. Like, you know, like, I don't know what the explanation of it is. But anyway, it's a two. It was like during like you know like Langoliers and It and
these
mini
late 90s.
Yeah, where they were trying to compete with like these kind of horror movies. So it was a two part series, but it's like a. But I got like the DVDs and it's two discs. It's like a 3 hour movie that could have easily been told in 70 minutes. It's like the first movie is basically the first act of the movie. So if you watch the DVDs, just skip it. You kind of will figure it out. They flash back all over the place for the first movie, and then just watch like the second act, because that's when the shark creature is actually like from Stan Winston Studios.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, the creature is way better than it should have been, and it was because like the producers of. Well, he was supposed to direct it at one point, but the producers of Creature actually also produced one of his movies that he directed, which was a gnome named Norm. Remember this Anthony Michael Hall movie? Which
terrifying
is actually,
movie.
It's a gnome named Norm. If you watch the movie, it's pronounced gnome. That's a running joke. But anyway, it was no Pumpkinhead. But anyway, so Stan Winston, who is like, if you're going to do... basically, Jaws on land. I'm gonna help you build this. So he made this amazing, amazing costume, and it's really, really cool. And it's got some great effects in it. And it gets a little. Sometimes it's like SWAT guys in it with. It's kind of like aliens, and then it goes a little Predator. But there's so much padding in this movie. Like, it would be great to do, like, a 70-minute cut of the whole thing.
A fan cut. Anybody want to do a fan cut of this movie?
A fan cut of Creature.
Yeah. When I saw the Shark Man, I thought they had made Street Sharks, the movie. Oh, remember Street Sharks cartoon?
I love those toys.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw it in Fangoria, I was like, they made Street Sharks, the movie. It's just Creature.
It's the best version of Street Sharks, the movie. We'll probably
see.
There was
also, there was a Hammerhead Shark Man movie, and I can't remember, it may have just been called Hammerhead, but it was literally a guy with a hammerhead his head.
Yeah. Would that be a sharksploitation?
I would think so, because he still had the teeth, and he's still hunting.
The first shark, he's swimming in the water. He actually grows legs in the second half. I don't know why, but anyway, he just does.
He's amphibious. It's like a frog. He grew his legs.
Yes. It was like Creature Walks Among Us.
Rationalized.
It all goes back to the creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's very much
Creature
like
Walks
that.
Among Us. The creature gets burned in a fire, and then they peel away his outer layer, and there's a man underneath.
Oh.
Pretty creepy.
Becca, what you got?
Okay, so the next one is not like a crazy shark movie. This one is one that I kind of stumbled on Netflix and was surprisingly surprised. 12 Days of Terror. Has anybody seen this one? It's on Netflix. It's definitely more of a docudrama. It was made in 2004 as a made-for-TV movie, and it's kind of a docudrama going through the 12 days of the shark attacks on the Jersey Shore back in 1910. And so this is the story that Jaws was originally based on, and it follows the exact same pattern where first a dog gets attacked and then some kids. And so the movie was meant to portray the real events of the shark attacks of 1910. And I liked this for a couple of reasons. It was a lot more focused on the people who were involved in it. It was period, so it seemed like really ambitious for a made-for-TV movie. And it was period done well. And one of the attacks, one of the real-life attacks, and then they portray it in the film, happens in a river because bull sharks can swim in fresh water. And so one of the attacks happens like in, it's literally like a stream in this kid's backyard. And so that was by far one of the most terrifying scenes in the movie, is you see these three little boys just swimming in, it just looks like a little stream outside their house, and then you see this fin appear, and it doesn't feel silly for some reason. The movie, I'm sure that they digitized those sharks, but it doesn't look silly in it, and they keep, it's not as much shark action, like you're not going to see a whole bunch of like sharks ripping arms or anything like that. It's much more subtle than that, but in that it makes it a bit more terrifying. Directed by Jack Sholder, who did
Nightmare 2.
He also did, I wrote some down, some other titles.
Hidden, right?
Yeah. It's entirely from the human perspective of it. There's no like underwater footage or anything like that. You're not going to go on the shark cam and roam around and see legs for a stretch. But it works, and it really fed my fear of sharks a lot more than the kind of more exploitive shark movies do. So 12 Days of Terror.
Cool.
Ryan?
I talked about 47 meters down, but my final choice, I mean, like, I just rewatched The Shallows. I think The Shallows was highly, highly effective. Yes, Blake Lively plays a surfboarder and a doctor, so of course she could take care of herself, but who cares? Yes, it seems like this beach she lands on is just a beach of terror and wonder, because there's sharks and there's a dead whale and there's dolphins and there's jellyfish, and it's magical and amazing.
And every person who goes to this beach is such a douche. Like, I swear, like, I'm going to steal
true.
Her bag.
That is true. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But I love the way, like I said, I like my sharks when they're slashers. And in this case, the shark is very much a slasher. He's territorial. Basically, Blake Lively swam out a little too far from this dead whale, which was his feeding grounds, and he's pissed off, and he's going to eat anybody else that gets in his way. So he picks off the surfers that she's with. He picks off the guy that tries to steal her backpack and then swims out to her. He sees, I think it's a surfboard in the ocean, and he tries to get that. But the way it's done, it's almost shot like a slasher movie. Like, the way you see the killer moving in, and then all of a sudden you see the victim disappear, you know, because this wave is covered up. And then you don't see him, and you're like, oh, no, the shark got him. And the director robbed us of the kill. No, you see half of his body crawling up on the beach at the end. Like, it's still, the director gives you both the classy version of a shark attack and then the exploitive version of a shark attack, and I love it. And it's also just a beautiful, like, beautifully shot. I don't know how many people have seen it, but the jellyfish sequence with the shark is fantastic. And yeah, the ending is a little wacky, but I mean, like, I don't know how else she was going to get out of this situation, so I bought it. I thought it was great. But it holds up really well. I mean, like, it came out a year ago, but it's something that I'll definitely repeat, like, watch on repeat.
Other Rob, final choice.
Final choice. You know, I don't have a third one. Trying to think of what.
Make something up. Pitch us
right
something
now. Up. Make something up. I tried watching. Has anybody seen the SS Indianapolis Nick Cage movie?
Yeah.
I started watching it and I just like, okay. Started doing swing dancing for too long and I was like, I got to get out of this. And I turned on Jaws 3D. But I mean, I'm assuming by the pacing of the opening that the third act is going to be the story, right?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but I hear there's sharks late in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I know Chris Kentis and the other filmmaker behind Laura Lau, I think her name is, who did Open Water, they wanted to tackle that subject.
Yeah.
They were going to do a film about
it. Yeah, I've been
that.
Hearing about people trying to tackle that for like years now. I watched Three-Headed Shark Attack 2.
So that's good as it sounds.
Yeah, and I didn't get it all the way through it because it. I will say that the shark CG was better than the last Sharknado movie that I saw, and but it is on story. You know, you'd be surprised. Not that great.
Yeah.
lot of boobs.
Did the sharks fight with each other?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did. They were like, that was a thing that they, well, here's the thing. The CG was good, but they kept reusing the same clip over and over again. It's kind of like old school Battlestar Galactica, where you see the exact same space fight every week. It was like that. But the thing, they made it a point that they would like, stop it. They'd be like, they didn't talk. I hope no one, they weren't like talking to
each
other.
I really wish they had.
Yeah, but they were just like kind of bumping at each other while they were chewing on stuff. I got through it farther than I thought I would.
And that's Three-Headed Shark Attack?
Two.
Two.
Two-headed?
Three-headed Shark Attack.
Part two.
Holy crap. So you have Shark Exorcist, this gem that you're talking about, Sand Sharks, speaks for itself,
Blizzard. Ghost Shark.
Ghost Shark, Snow Shark? I know there's one set in the
Avalanche
snow.
Avalanche Shark.
Yeah. Avalanche Shark.
Avalanche Shark. Yes. Yep. There's been Sharks in Venice. I can't even remember the name of the movie, but it was Sharks.
Is there
movie.
Lava
that's
Shark?
Or no, no, that's not good.
Lava Shark? I feel
lava
like there should be.
Lava Lantula, I think, is...
We need a Lava Shark, really.
Yeah.
I know that there was Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
Oh, yeah.
Shark and Saw Massacre. Thank you, Craig Perry.
How far they've fallen. My final pick, I haven't seen this movie in a long time, but when I do see it, I always have a blast with it. And I'm very excited because one of our friends, Darren Scott, just directed the sequel,
Literally just
out of the blue.
So yeah, out of the blue, and apparently he tells me it's going to be super cool. But it is 1999's Deep Blue Sea,
yes,
by Mr. Rennie Harlan. Ryan, you're a big fan of this one too.
I do love Deep Blue Sea. Yes.
You know what can we say about Deep Blue Sea? The sharks are smart.
Smart sharks.
The sharks are smart. Do you ever, anybody remember the Starburst commercial where the sharks are swimming through the ocean and are chewing a Starburst and they're like, they slap fins and they're like, yeah, those are the sharks. I saw it. It came out around the same time. I remember watching Deep Blue Sea and I was like, these are the Starburst sharks.
Yeah.
Because they're swimming and slapping fins and swimming backwards. Also, things Ryan learns when he goes to the movies and then he has to fact check it later on. Sharks can't swim backwards. Because they make a big point of this. They're like, oh my God, what's it doing? It's swimming backwards. Sharks can't do that. And I was like, really? I'm going to look this up later. True.
Sharks can't swim backwards. They also can't stop swimming. They drown.
They also can't, yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. But no, I don't. I mean, like, you got LL Cool J. You got his My Head is Like a Shark's Fin.
The best
song.
You got the theme song. Like a shark's fin.
You got a parrot. You got
Does LL Cool J punch a shark? I can't remember.
I don't know, but you got Tom Jane.
And he has a parrot.
Tom Jane is great.
Master of not wearing shoes, Tom Jane, you know, swimming with sharks. It's
this movie reminded me a lot of Deep Rising.
Yes.
I love Deep Rising. That's my jam.
I mean, I'm not a fan of like the CG sharks, but I'm a fan of these CG sharks. Yeah. They're just the right level of lame, and it's just a well-paced, fun movie.
I mean,
we've all watched that Sam Jackson ice monologue like a million times. It doesn't get old. Well, it's so
what
amazing.
I remember is it's also got Ronnie Cox from RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you see the movie, he doesn't say a freaking word. Because he's the kind of, he works for the corporation that's working on the Alzheimer's treatment, medicine, whatever. But there's a big dramatic scene, and Ronnie Cox is just sitting at a desk, and he's staring at the camera, and everybody's acting around him. And then they punch in on Ronnie Cox's face, and he looks up to the other actor, and then they cut out. And I was like, that's how you use Ronnie Cox? Like, did he have laryngitis? Like, what the hell? Never comes back in. What hopefully he's in the... Oh, no, he's passed
what if,
away.
I mean, he had...
I don't know. I don't remember.
Who?
Ronnie Cox.
In real life?
I love that you're whispering into the microphone.
I don't know, because I'm being respectful of this ghost.
Is he dead?
I'd like to think he's still
I'm hoping he might be in the sequel
Let's
if he's not
he's
dead.
Still with us.
Yeah.
Well, my other two that I had were Deep Blue Sea and Bait, and since those have already been discussed, I'm going to go with, I'm going to stay on brand with what Ryan predicted, and hey, my other two were Taken. I'm going to pull out one that is kind of a loose shark film, Frankenfish from 2004. This is so on brand for me.
Written by Simon Barrett, correct?
Yeah, it's one of those films that it was like, oh, Frankenfish, this looks like a LARF. I'll put this on. And the effects are done by Rob Hall at Almost Human. The monster is really kick-ass in this.
It's written by Simon Barrett. Yeah. Simon Barrett's the writer of Your Next, Blair Witch, and he just signed on to do something big for...
Godzilla?
No, that's
the other guy.
It's surprisingly a really good film.
Asylum. Is that Corman?
It wasn't Asylum. It wasn't part of like the sci-fi stuff. I remember seeing it more on VHS, and I'm not even too sure who originally was like the producer on it, but it feels like Corman's company.
It might have been right before the whole glut of like sci-fi shark movies.
Like Dino Croc.
That era.
This was around 2003 or 4 when this one came out, and this one was actually part of the snakehead subgenre, which was a very short-lived thing. Snakeheads were apparently these fish with teeth that can walk on land and will like eat birds and stuff, and they found one in Maryland, and they're apparently really common in China, but they found one in Maryland and thought that it may have been like somebody brought it over as a pet, and then it got too big, so they put it into this lake, and then it was like walking around the park. And so it made news at the time, and so there was this really kind of short-lived snakehead subgenre where it was either just snakeheads by themselves, like I think Sci-Fi actually had one called Snakehead Terror. But then somebody else made Frankenfish, and this is not quite a snakehead. I don't know exactly the logistics of what happened to it, if it bred with a shark, but it's mutated. It's like freaking huge, and it's got like barnacles on its face and things like that. So it's a very mutated, but it's in the bayou, and they actually shot it in like the bayous of Alabama. So it's got like really good production quality too. And it's still a giant frankenfish hunting the bayou for people. But
sure.
And it's one of these, like, I remembered loving this film. I rewatched it a couple of years ago and was like, yeah, this is still pretty good. And then I Googled it to see if it was just like one of these weird films that only I like. And I found it's actually kind of got a lot of critical acclaim of a lot of people going, yeah, frankenfish, surprisingly good. So check out frankenfish.
It's better than it has any right to be.
It seriously is. I will also give a plug, not a movie, but I will say it's one of the greatest examples of sharksploitation ever, the Air Jaws series. My mom
is
knowing,
that like Air Bud?
Yeah, but it's Air Jaws. These are the series, you've probably seen footage of it. These series, they started in, I want to say, about the mid-2000s, and it was part of Shark Week. And so this is like an actual like documentary, like Discovery style show that they would do, and I think they're up to like Air Jaws 7 now. And this is where they discovered that these certain sharks, they're great white sharks in South America, that if you pull this like rubber seal behind the boat, that they will actually jump out of the water to get this seal and then fall back into the water. And it's this particular behavior of sharks that they don't do anywhere else but this area around southern Africa. And so I remember my mom giving me a VHS copy of the first Air Jaws for Christmas that year, and I seriously watched it on repeat, just because you're watching these like massive sharks jump out of the water and then back in. And they've pretty much, I think Shark Week has done that like every year since then. I want to say they're on 7 or 8, probably past that now, but really all they do is just drag a rubber seal behind the boat and watch them jump out of the water. And they give them names now and stories. Like there was one a couple of years ago where the shark was named Colossus, and they followed Colossus all around the island. And what's he doing now? Will he go for the rubber seal? Oh, he did. Let's see if we can get him to do it again. What's Colossus doing now? And so it's like a whole drama.
What they do on Shark Week is basically intellectual sharksploitation.
It is, right?
I mean, like, who was just swimming against a CGI shark? Was it Mike? Was it Phelps? What the hell? That's sharksploitation.
I remember a couple of years ago on Shark Week, they did this thing where they would kind of CG these animals, and they would go, okay, who would win, a hippo or a shark?
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. But I was mesmerized. I was like, oh, who would win, the hippo or the shark? And then they go through like, well, the hippo has like a crazy hide, but could the shark's teeth pierce it? And then they do scientific tests to see if it could. It's like sharksploitation at its nerdiest.
Do you remember who would win, hippo versus shark?
I think the hippo did, because they said that it couldn't, hippo was too strong, and that
the shark would choke on it,
get through its hide.
Yeah. Oh.
It was all about the hippo had like a thick hide, and it was like badass in general.
There was a script, Craig Perry, you would know this. Wasn't there a spec going around town that was about these people who were just throwing dangerous animals into a cage and just seeing who would fight? Like, who would win? It was like a grizzly. I think it was called Grizzly versus Shark. No, it was an insane. It was an insane
Perry,
script.
Clearly you would know this.
Well, because everyone, it was like one of those like blacklist things where it was just insane enough that like it got studio attention. It was like, I think it might have been called Grizzly versus Shark. And then it was like that, like they put a grizzly in the water, and then they let a shark loose. And
in a scuba suit.
Well, I think if the grizzly is in the water, it's clearly at a disadvantage right there.
Yeah.
The grizzly is going to be like,
I think it was
what
pretty bloody.
Hell?
Someone will correct me on it. It's insane. Anyways,
that goes
we're
back to my point about Sharknado, man. It's a horror movie for sharks. You're throwing them
in
the
let's
air.
Let's do that perspective.
All right.
That would actually be an interesting take. I want a horror movie now that is from the shark's perspective like people are.
Why do these people keep kicking at me?
Totally.
Why those people upstairs keep kicking me?
We're running out of time. Thank you guys so much for joining us for our 59th episode. You could find us on iTunes. Each episode is free. We air every Friday
morning.
Yep. And our format's usually conversations like this for like the first hour, and then we'll bring in a guest to talk with us or interview. But our newest episode is up now with Ted Raimi, and we're talking about Ted Raimi's career. So give it a listen, please.
This is Exploitation Month, so we're going to be covering sexploitation.
Nunsploitation.
We've got rape revenge episodes.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be controversial.
Nice tease,
what? It's there's a lot
Everybody's
to
like,
do.
Ugh. But there's a lot, yes. And we have some great guests for August.
We
so
got
we hope
much
you tune
to
in.
Cover, gents.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Take care. Have a good con.